You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program and you're with the Victorian Executive, Dave, Rob, Aaron and Jason. How are you, comrades?
We're all well, thanks, Dave. We're missing the counter soldier, Dean. Dean, unfortunately, can't join us. But now we're all here, fit and well, and ready to deliver some riveting radio.
Every time you call it Radical Radio, Dave, you look over to Robbie and I waiting for a response.
He does.
And I'm just like, yeah, you're like... It is. It's Radical Radio. We love it.
It's radio. It doesn't make
It is Radical Radio because it's independent radio, independent from the powers that control the media across the world, and that's what we love about 3CR.
And good morning to you, Annie, as well.
Good morning.
So there's a fair bit happening, as usual, in MUA land, but one of the things we do want to talk a bit more about is the rise of One Nation, although they are dropping in the polls, I believe.
I suppose there's always that, I don't want to call it a honeymoon period, but that period of time where they, you know, everyone just gets onto this ride and away they go, and no one really puts any thought into it. It's just it's an opposition thing with, you know, no one's happy with the Liberal Party. They're not even happy with the Liberal Party. And the Labor Party have pissed people off in a nutshell. So they just go, well, what's the next best thing? And now people are starting to realise and have a look at what they actually represent and what they stand for or what they don't stand for. And people are starting now to say, well, hang on, that might not be for me.
And after 30 years in politics for Pauline, it's not a very big scratch beneath the surface. You have to go to find out where the direction of One Nation, given that she has a final say on all policy, where the direction of One Nation candidates will head and the party will head if they are ever considered in earnest for government. And one of those things was recently the unions fought to have the minimum wage increased. And we managed to get a decent outcome in the Fair Work Commission of 5.5%. So that is it's
4.75 for the week.
4.75 for awards and 5 and a bit for the minimum wage.
And we're talking about people on the lowest money
possible
in the country.
Yeah. And a lot of our members, all of our members are on EAs or rates that are significantly higher than the award. Seafaring award or the seafaring award or the minimum wage, but it's still important to us because all those awards and the minimum wage and that system underpins all of our agreements. So when they're fighting to reduce, when One Nation is fighting to reduce those minimums, that will ultimately seek to drag us backwards.
It has an impact on our agreements. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so when you look at, there's definitely been a cost of living crisis, there's no doubt, and that's for everyone. And then these are the things that Pauline in particular has voted against, and that is the minimum wage increases for people at the bottom. I mean, it's just...
Actively lobbying against it is...
Lobbying against...
Stealing money out of the pockets of workers.
You know?
There was some really interesting research done by the McKell Institute because, you know, people say, oh, you know, if you raise wages, then that will just feed inflation. But in actual fact, the selling off of public assets like the electricity and the gas, etc., they're running at 5.9% inflation, while it's actually the sell-offs that have actually caused this inflation loop, not the wages, yeah. Because, of course, wages haven't been keeping up with inflation for 30 years.
That's right.
Isn't that an interesting piece of research?
It is. It is an interesting piece of research because it just doesn't make any, you don't need any mathematical genius to work out that if inflation's going at this rate and the wages are going at a rate that's lower, you're worse off. People at the bottom are worse off.
Well, it's actually a wages cut.
It's a real wage cut.
Or wage cut. So people are struggling anyway, and then in effect they're having their wages cut.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, she voted against legislation that would have made it easier for casual employees to transition to permanent jobs. She's voted against that as well. People again, casual workers. Like, she's just awful when it comes to the working class. She has voted with the Liberal Party all the way through, and now she's running around. It's well documented. She's running around in Gina, I'm going to be a trillionaire. Reinhardt's playing. Like,
you wouldn't want to be a family either under Pauline Drain. Like, she wants to cut off maternity leave. Reckons women don't deserve to be paid if they're not at work.
What about that?
What about the crack at childcare workers, the early childhood educators that are teaching the youngest and the most vulnerable members of our society? And she's like, well, I didn't need a degree to raise my four kids. Yeah, well, maybe that's not the best. Maybe given the outcomes there, maybe that's not the best.
But, you know, like, that's like that story. And I'm not saying that this is true about her, but it's like that story where people say, oh, my parents locked me in the cupboard with a box of Wheaties and I'm all right.
Didn't hurt me.
So we're pretty anti One Nation, as they are anti worker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And the things that the reality is, the things that she has supported would affect people at the bottom. And we're going through, it's tough enough now, and it really is tough enough for families doing it tough. And she's voting against any sort of increase in minimum wage increase. She's voting against it. Like, come on.
Yeah. We also had a visit this week from Samuel Barton, who's from the Marshall Islands Student Association, and there was someone else with him. I'm not sure what her name was, but she was from Fiji. But they're out in Australia campaigning about the anniversary dates of when the US, 80 years ago this month, the US began unleashing nuclear weapons on the Marshall Islands, and 60 years ago this month, the French would detonate nuclear weapons in the Pacific. And there's been a massive hangover from those two events, with generational impacts, children being born with deformities, the fishing lands being impacted, and their culture and displacement of those people. So, you know, that was a really interesting visit.
It was quite moving listening to the story, wasn't it? It was really one of those things, you know, we sit down, we meet with different groups, but this was really moving, listening to the damage it's done to those people and the fact that the US have never owned up to it.
Yeah.
So they didn't do it, it wasn't.
Yeah. So part of that campaign is campaigning for the signing of the Treaty of the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons, which has been ALP policy since 2018. I don't know why they haven't stepped up and signed it. Oh, we probably do, because their affiliation with the US and their AUKUS deal, who, you know, AUKUS is going to bring the nuclear industry into Australia, which is, against the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons Treaty. So there's a fair bit to work out there, but we've got the ALP National Conference coming up the 26th of July in Adelaide.
23rd to the 26th of July in Adelaide.
Yep, and this is a time when we need to lobby the Labor government to get on with it and sign that treaty.
My understanding is there's going to be a fair bit of
colour and noise.
Colour and noise and pressure for them to actually sign what they said they
want. And yes, there's IPAN.
There's other issues, of course. It's to do with nuclear waste as well. The Americans and the English are in a perilous position because they've got enormous amounts of nuclear waste, which they can't deal with. And for some reason or other, they think that the vast desert internal areas of Australia is open slather for their dreadful policy decisions in the past.
Yeah, just have a look around. Where's there's a big area of land where we can just dump? Hang on, Australia. Are we still part of the monarchy? Do we owe it to our sovereign leaders to avail our lands for their waste? And we saw that happen with the Northern Endeavour, which went all the way to the other side of the world to be scrapped, and then all the waste has got to come back to Australia to be dumped.
And of course, there was also nuclear testing done here in Australia in Maralinga, Emu Field, and the Montebello Islands, which those areas I think are still fenced off because of the nuclear contamination. And
I was unaware of the Montebello Islands.
Yeah. So there's a bit of work to be done there, but also.
Just as a matter of interest, it was also the anniversary of the French Secret Service bombing the Rainbow Warrior in Auckland, which is sort of interesting as well. Just a passing piece.
Yes. There's a bit going on, I suppose, isn't
there? There is. And, coinciding in Adelaide with the National Labor Conference is an IPAN conference, Independent Peaceful Australia Network Conference. I reckon they might have a bit to say about the Labor Party conference there, and there might be a bit of action out the front of the Labor Party.
Is it just a coincidence, Dave, that they're both on at the same time in the same city?
I'm not sure.
What about Adelaide attracting all the big events, eh? Where else would you rather be?
That's good.
Basically fringe this weekend.
We'll be over there anyway, and we'll be having a say in what's going on. All right, we're going to go to our first song, which was inspired by the nuclear tests in the South Pacific and in Australia. It's by Midnight Oil, and it's called Hercules. Welcome back to Fire Up MUA. Hope you enjoyed that song by Midnight Oil.
Whose leader was Peter Garrett, and he stood for the Nuclear Disarmament Party way back in the 80s. And here we are all this time later still having to debate.
Well, it's hotter than ever now. Going to some industrial reports, we're preparing for the Switzer EA. I remember comrades and members of unions in Victoria might remember 4 years ago we had quite a few rallies out the front of Switzer, and they threatened to lock out their workforce. Part of intractable bargaining.
Yeah, threatened to shut down the entire country, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting negotiation. And of course, the CEO of Switzer at the time was a man named Nicola Nose, and now we know him as the CEO of DP World Australia.
Oh wow,
Aaron,
yeah.
It's on giving, eh?
We've gone from having a shit fight at Switzer to that getting resolved, and then now we're having a shit fight at DP World. And Nicola knows when we first approached him about automation, his response to us, well, why do you care? What do you mean, why do we care? They're our jobs you're taking, mate. We don't want to see our jobs taken away and the livelihoods of our members carved up for your benefit. And his response was, well, robots don't take piss breaks.
Yeah, it is an interesting campaign, Dave, and hopefully it won't be as bitter as the last one.
No, hopefully not. We're commencing bargaining almost 12 months out before the expiry of the agreement, so give us plenty of time to hopefully negotiate a good outcome for our members.
And we're both doing it. You're doing the Port of Portland deckhands.
That's right.
Down there. Which
is... Yeah, it's a bit of a complicated agreement. We're dealing with all three unions, the AMOU, AMPI and ourselves. So they are three separate agreements, but we have been negotiating together. We have got a fair way down the path. Actually, we've got a meeting later today with the membership to discuss the offer that's been put on the table. It's not bad. It's probably not as good as we really wanted, but we'll have to see the outcome then. You're doing the port workers?
I'm doing the port workers, the Port of Portland port workers. I've been down there this week. Took David Waterstone from Host Plus down and Craig Johnson from Protect. So we're trying to get Protect into the EA there, and Host Plus was just more about, you know, them doing a visit down there with all those members there. So we've come a fair way with that agreement. There's a lot of stuff's been agreed to. You wouldn't believe the one thing we can't reach an agreement on. You won't pick it.
No?
Wages. The wage increases. Sure. So who'd have thought? But I'm sure we'll get there eventually. We always do. But it's been the workforce there and the delegates there, particularly Andrew Doody Doot. He's been doing these agreements about his fourth. I'm not sure if he's fourth or fifth EA. So it was terrific to have those, and his offside of Lockie Downs, they do a terrific job representing their members down there, and a young bloke, Paul Melbourne's come on board as well. So they do a great job. We are getting there, and hopefully that will be wound up.
And those workers look like taking on Protect income protection.
That's the next thing is, you know, the funny thing is getting the company to understand it.
Yeah.
Straightforward, but anyway, we'll get there around that. That's just to be worked upon and worked out, and worked out how that actually all molds in with pay rise, all that sort of stuff. So.
And just for our members, there has been some improvements to the Protect Fund. We've increased the weekly salary from $1,800 to $1,900, and we've got some benefits. If you're unfortunate enough to get cancer, have a heart attack, or a stroke, there's a $10,000 one-off payment. And there is an improvement to home services. If you're injured at home and you can't mow your lawn or you can't clean your house, there's money there available to assist in those activities.
Oh, that's terrific. So Protect has been, my view, it's been one of the great innovations that's come into our enterprise agreements. I'm a big supporter of it. It's from the point of view that when you're not taking the money out of your superannuation fund to pay for your income protection, over your working life, that money compounds and becomes... increases your super balance in the finish and gives you an opportunity to retire, not keep working to your 70 like the government would have you. And you can actually retire with a decent balance there. And so Protect actually assists with that.
And Jase, you've been doing some work with East West Diving.
Yeah, that's correct. East West Dive, those members down there have come on leaps and bounds. The company's issued, they commenced a bargaining, and the NERR went out last week as well. We've been working on the log of claims. That's all done. I've been down at Swanson Dock this morning to see the workforce down there. That group there's endorsed it. I'll go out and see the other group later today. Speaking of Protect, that's something those workers down there are really want locked into their EA. Divers, as in the diving industry, it's very hard to get income protection. So Protect is something good for those workers. They've got families and kids, so they want some reassurance outside that as well. And the other side I'm looking after as well is Western Port Ferries. They've come on leaps and bounds as well. The company's issued the commence to bargaining down there, currently working on the log of claims down there for those guys. And I'll be down there this week as well, locking them in for our members down there.
No, that's great work, mate. There are two new businesses, I guess, that we look after and that we've got membership at since you've come on board, mate. So well done.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, it's part of my role is to get out to these regional areas, anywhere from Barry's Beach to Portland I cover. And it's good to see these companies coming on leaps and bounds.
And what about the ferry, the other ferry mob between Sorrento and Queenscliff?
Yeah, we're still working with them. Customer service there, we're looking at hopefully getting an agreement done with them. Peninsula Sea Transport, they're pushing back pretty hard, but the union is detriment there. We're fighting for the workers. The media release I put out a few weeks ago with a video caused quite a stir. I got some flack from the company from that, but our members have backed me 100%, which is great.
And Aaron Bhagwan, got an update there, mate?
Yeah, we're looking to try and get a mass meeting because we have been in negotiations with the company now for a couple of months, and we've made some pretty good headway, and we look like we're going to get some reasonable changes. But it will significantly amend the structure of the agreement. So we're seeking to take the pathway forward to the membership over the coming weeks. We're just going to try and lock in a time that works for all parties.
So there's a lot happening. All right, I think we've just about come to the end of the show. We've got another Midnight Oil song for you. Hope you enjoy it. It's called Put Down That Weapon.
A great name, members.
There you go, great.
See you, comrades.
Under the waterline, no place to retire, to another time. The eyes of the world now turn, and if we think about it, and if we talk about it, and if the sea goes boiling black, can you tell me what you'll do about that? Put down that weapon, or we'll all be gone. You can't hide nowhere with a spotlight on. Cause it happens to be an emergency. Some things aren't meant to be. Some things don't come for free. Above the waterline, point the finger, yeah, point the bow. It's the harbour town that the cream and ships call home. And if we think about it, and if we talk about it, and if the sky goes dark with rain, can you tell me, does your freedom remain? Pop down that weapon.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.